Hi everyone. Yes, two readings today. The first is Isaiah 55 and the second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briar, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Our second reading, 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. And we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, become imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Jesus Christ. You suffered from your own people the same things that the church has suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone. In their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last.
Thank you, Leslie. Well, good day again. How good was it to hear Liv's story just before? That was awesome. Praise God for the work he's doing in and among us right now. Just a quick heads up, at the end of the sermon, we're going to have a moment to do our one thing. That's a chance for you to reflect, to think about one thing that stood out to you from the passage, a question, a thought, a next step. I'll come back to that at the end, but just flagging it up front. Well, 2 years ago, when I first came to our church family here at Campbelltown, I helped lead our Roxby mission. It's an awesome mission. What we do is every year we take our youth to a place called Roxby Downs, and in partnership with the local church there, we run a church, kids program, youth program, and all of that so that new people can come to know Jesus. Our youth do an awesome job on that mission. It's so good. I'd love to talk to you more about it. On the first mission I was a part of, on the first morning, we packed our youth into the two Desert minibuses and we were on our way. It was exciting. I was a little bit nervous. When we stopped for lunch, I went to fill up the bus. And as I started filling the tank, I can hear a couple of sniggers. Some people know where this is going, but for the rest, stay with me. As I was filling up the tank, I was feeling pretty good, you know, good morning, the kids are all there in the bus. I was feeling good until I finished filling up the bus And at that moment, I looked up slightly and I see this big sign in capital letters on the side of the bus. And it says, diesel only. And I looked at what I was filling up with, unleaded. It was not a good moment. My heart sank. But, you know, it actually got a lot better as the mission went on. I mean, it's a pretty low bar to start with, but it did get a lot better. We got there, shared the gospel, it was great. I'll share a bit more later. But it's fair to say that was not a good start to a mission trip, right? And if it's true of the mission trip I was a part of, it's nothing compared to Paul's mission in Thessalonica. Not only did Paul's mission, it started badly, it continued badly, and it ended badly. We get an account of this in Acts in chapter 16 and 17, but also in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica. And what we hear is that Paul and his co-workers, they'd just come from a place called Philippi. They'd been beaten, humiliated, put in prison, all for telling people about Jesus. And once they arrive in Thessalonica, just weeks after they were there, there's this group of Jews, a particular group of Jews who don't want people to convert to Christianity. They're quite jealous of what they're seeing going on. And so what they do is they form this mob, they start a riot. And so Paul and his companions, in the middle of the night, they flee to a place called Berea. It starts badly, it continues badly, and it ends badly. So, was it a failed mission? That's kind of the big question we're asking today. Was it a failed mission? And Paul can't be more adamant. In chapter 2, verse 1, we heard this last week. Paul says this. He says to the church in Thessalonica, "Our visit to you was not without results." Paul says, this mission trip that in so many ways went horribly wrong, he says it wasn't in vain. And it begs the question, why? How is that possible, right? We just heard what happened. As we're going to see today, though, the reason why Paul can say this adamantly is because he's not measuring the success of this mission by worldly things like comfort or control. He's measuring it by the gospel. And so what we're going to see today is his mission in Thessalonica, it was a success because as the gospel was boldly proclaimed, God brought people to life in Jesus and also enabled them to persevere in Jesus even when the going got tough. That's what we're going to explore together today. We're going to dive into God's word now. So if you have your Bibles, keep them open. If not, the readings in your handout. Let's hear from God's word today together. So firstly, the first thing we see is Paul's mission to Thessalonica. It was a success because the gospel was boldly proclaimed. This is really something we saw last week in chapter 2, verse 2. So we're just going to quickly skim over this bit. So after their experience in Philippi, you could forgive Paul and his mates for thinking, let's just lay low at Thessalonica. We know how badly it went last time. But instead, what do? They boldly proclaim the gospel to the people there. And for Paul to say this was a win in and of itself, what he's showing us is something that's true and so important for us today. When the gospel is proclaimed, that's a win. Full stop. As soon as the gospel is shared, that's a win. And the question behind that is why? Why can it be a win just to share the gospel? And the reason we have is because our confidence isn't actually in ourselves or how well we do that. It's actually confidence in God and in his word and what he's doing. And God tells us that as the gospel is proclaimed, he's bringing people to life in Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. We don't always see the specifics of how this plays out, but we know that's what God's doing. He tells us. Even in the Old Testament, as we heard in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah, God shares that his word goes out and it won't return to him empty. It achieves his purposes for creation and for salvation. Paul's trip It was a win because he and his companions, they were willing to share the gospel. And the same is true for us. When we muster up the confidence to have a faith conversation with someone, not knowing how they're going to respond, or we invite someone to come along with us to church or the life course, not knowing if they'll take it up or not, those are gospel wins, full stop. And now as we come into our passage today, Paul tells us there's even more wins that came with his trip to Thessalonica. In fact, when you hear that first verse in verse 13, you just get the sense that Paul's like bubbling with joy. He's so happy about what God is doing in Thessalonica. Let's have a read together at the start. Verse 13, this is what Paul says. He says, "And we also thank God continually." I'll pause there for a moment. What kind of thanks is going on here? I have a cousin who recently received a new kidney. And I have to say, there's just been moments in the day when I've just thought about it and given thanks to God. It's just such an amazing gift. To know somebody going from facing death to new life in Jesus. A new life. It's an amazing thing to give thanks to God for. When you love someone and they receive new life, gratitude just spills out. And this is what we're seeing here. This is a sense of what we're seeing here with Paul. Why is he giving thanks to God continually? That's because when the gospel was proclaimed, the Thessalonians, they received the message. They put their trust in Jesus, and when this happened, they found new life in him. Let's continue reading verse 13. Paul says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Paul's mission trip, it might have gone horribly wrong for a range of reasons, and yet here he's just rejoicing. He's so excited about what's happened because not only did they share the gospel, God gave them boldness to do that. People received it as God's word, and they found new life in Jesus. As we spoke about before, proclaiming God's word, it's always a win because we trust God is doing his thing. But in saying that, what an incredible joy it is. What an incredible joy is when we actually get to be a part of that and see people find life in Jesus. We heard Liv's story before. How amazing was that to see how God helped Liv, not just to hear the gospel, but actually trust in Jesus as her savior. Last year, I had a similar experience. I was reading the Bible with someone. And, we were reading John's gospel, and he got to the point where he said, "Yeah, I think Jesus died for my sins. I think he rose again." And so I asked him, like, "Do you want to trust in Jesus?" And he kind of sat back at that point and said, "No, I'm not ready to do that." I was a bit disappointed, but I, prayed for him. We met up again the next week, kept reading the Bible, and I asked him again, "Do you want to trust in Jesus, live with him as your king?" And he told me he was ready to do that. And I have to say, just being able to see someone put their trust in Jesus, it is the most amazing privilege in the world. It's a moment we don't just rejoice in, all of heaven rejoices. And I just want to ask some people in the room here today, if you're not yet following Jesus as your king, what's holding you back? Jesus, through his death, through his resurrection, he's made it possible for you to have new life in Jesus, to have forgiveness from God, to come back into a restored relationship with him. All you have to do is repent and trust in Jesus. What's holding you back? Is there anything holding you back? Before in our all-ages spot, we heard a gospel invitation. I'm not going to make you sing it again. You'll be relieved to know. But I just want to echo the last verse from that song. "To the proud, the poor, the sick, the rich, to all across this land, everlasting hope is yours if you'll but take his hand." If you trust in Jesus, everlasting hope is yours. Maybe today is the day you want to take his hand and find that hope in him. If you do, please chat to someone about it. Chat to me, chat to one of the other pastors, chat to your Christian mates. We'd love to talk with you, to pray with you, to help you to think through what this looks like. And if you still have questions, come along to the Life series. It's starting in 2 days' time. Ask your questions. It's a relaxed place with food and drink. But most importantly, you get to ask your questions about Jesus and to get to the bottom of this. Well, in our passage, we see many of the Thessalonians, they have put their trust in Jesus. And that's why Paul is just bubbling with thankfulness to God. But it does raise a question, why give thanks to God? You know, Paul's the one who's been bold in proclaiming it. The Thessalonians, they've been bold in receiving it, even amid some hostility, we'll see in a moment. Why give thanks to God? We get the answer at the end of verse 13. We hear that when they received the gospel, they received the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Did you hear that? It's God's word at work in us. And this is ultimately why Paul's mission trip was a success, because God was at work through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. He was bringing people to life in Jesus. In the end, if you come to life in Jesus, it's because God has been at work. Coming back to the story of my friend, the only reason he got to the point he could trust in Jesus was because through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God reached into his life, softened his heart so that he could turn away from his old life and trust in Jesus and live for him. Why is Paul thankful to God for the Thessalonians? It's because God did what he said he would do. Through his word, by his spirit, he brought people to life in Jesus. And just for a moment, I just want to encourage us. If you're someone who's put your trust in Jesus, if you know people have put their trust in Jesus, which looking around the room, we all know people like that, keep giving thanks to God for this amazing gift. Never stop giving thanks to God. God is just so kind. He's so merciful. And every day that we get to enjoy a relationship with him, with his people, enjoy the hope he's won for us, it's another day to keep giving thanks to him. And there's more actually in our passage to give thanks to God for, because not only do we see that God, through his word, he brings people to life in Jesus, new hope in Jesus, but through his word as well, he grows us in his loving ways into the life he's won for us. I think a good way of understanding the Christian life is a little bit like a lifelong apprenticeship. Through Jesus' word, he brings you into the apprenticeship, into new life with him. But also Jesus, as our trainer, he keeps apprenticing us through his word. Little by little in the Christian life, Jesus, he shapes all of our life under his loving ways. How we speak, how we act, the things we desire and the hopes we have, the way we think about life. Jesus, little by little, he keeps apprenticing us by his word. It's why at church here we're so committed to God's word, why we always want to sit under God's word. It's why we want to encourage people, keep reading God's word in your own time. When you meet, read God's word together, encourage each other in God's word. Because together we want Jesus to be king over every part of our life. And as we listen to God's word, as we trust in it, as we delight in it, little by little, Jesus keeps growing us in his loving ways. And as we look at the last few verses of our passage, what we see is one of the ways that Jesus grows us in his ways is he enables us to persevere in him despite opposition. Come with me to chapter 2, verse 14. This is what we hear. We hear, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. How is Paul confident that God's at work in their lives? What we see is not only did they trust the gospel, but they were willing to persevere with Jesus even when they faced opposition from the people around them. And in doing that, it should be such an encouragement for them, but also for any of us who do it, because when you follow Jesus despite this, you're following Christians from every century since who have faithfully followed Jesus, even under persecution. But ultimately, you're following in the steps of Jesus, the one who he was willing to be put on a cross and killed by the people around him so that he could be faithful to God and God's great plans. For the Thessalonians, Paul, he rejoices that they're willing to persevere despite the opposition from the people around them, because it's fruit, it's an evidence of God's work in their lives. They're following in the footsteps of Jesus, their King and their Saviour. So thinking about us for just a moment, I think we live in a really strange time in Australia. And I wonder if you've noticed too, we've gone from a world that is generally Christian, maybe around the 1960s, to now a world that is post-Christian, dismissing those old Christian values. And I think with this, we're in a strange time because there's both opportunities and also new challenges. On the one hand, I think as people have embraced this new a post-Christian worldview, they've actually experienced what life is like without God in it. And they've seen it's empty, it's confusing. And so they are dissatisfied and they want something more. We run a Bible study group at the school here, and a student came along one week, and he grew up with atheist parents, and he was just saying how he found that world just so depressing. You know, there's no hope, no meaning. One of his friends sent him a Bible app, and so he looked up the Bible on his phone, and he met Jesus, and he was gripped by Jesus and the life that Jesus offers to anyone. And he decided, I want to follow Jesus. I want the life that Jesus offers. In God's kindness, this is just one of many, many stories we're seeing, many stories we're hearing about, of people's new openness to the gospel in the world we're in today. There's exciting opportunities, but on the flip side, there are challenges. There's challenges with living in this world we live in today. Because if we hold to Jesus' teaching, it's more likely people will look down on us for being bigoted or closed-minded. It's much more likely parts of Christianity will be outlawed altogether. And so in the face of this kind of challenge and many other challenges that might come our way, we need to keep asking God to be at work in our lives like he says he will. We need to ask for help that through his word, he'll be helping us to be like the Thessalonians, that we'll walk faithfully with Jesus even amid challenges. I'm going to lead us in prayer in a moment, and I'll be asking God to help us with this, to keep faithfully walking with Jesus every day. But before that, we still have three more verses to cover. And if you were listening to the reading before, you'll know these were strong words from Paul, and they can be hard to digest. So it's worth us just spending a moment there now. What we see in these last few verses, Paul, he's referring to this particular group of first century Jews. This is a group who in verse 15, they've organized for Jesus to be killed. It's the same group who have been hostile to Paul and his co-workers in Philippi and Thessalonica. And we see in verse 16, they're doing this to stop people from hearing the gospel and finding life in Jesus. They don't want people to find life in Jesus. They want them to remain with Jewish beliefs. And what we hear is that this displeases God more than anything. And so verse 17, we hear these words, these strong words. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. It's something we need to sit with for a moment, I think, when you hear words like that. What we're hearing here is that nothing is more dire than to reject Jesus. And it's a warning not just for a particular group of Jews in the first century. It's a warning for all of us here, all of us in Adelaide, South Australia, the world. It's a warning that how we respond to Jesus matters. It has eternal significance. Jesus is God's Saviour. He is the one God sent to rescue us from our sins and bring us back into a restored relationship with God. All of that is God's mercy and God's kindness, God's undeserved grace. But what it also means is if you reject Jesus, there's nothing left. God doesn't have a backup plan. That's it. And so all that remains for people who reject Jesus is God's future day of judgment, a day where people have to give an account for their sins before God. It's a severe warning, and we need to hear it for ourselves, and we need to hear it for others. Can I also say there's also an encouragement in here? Because in these words, Paul clarifies what actually matters in life, what really matters. How can we endure hardship in the Christian life, keep walking with Jesus despite what happens? Well, Paul's reminding us to lift our eyes to eternity. Remember, all of humanity is heading in one of two directions. And God's made it possible for us to be with Him forever. In Jesus alone, God has won for us an eternal hope. He's guaranteed it through His death and through His resurrection. So amid any challenges we face today, in the week ahead, in the year ahead, let's keep our sights on that eternal hope. Let's let it shape everything we do. Let's let it fill us with thankfulness for God and His kindness and His mercy as we keep following in the footsteps of Jesus. I mentioned at the start that mission trip from 2 years ago. It started poorly, but it wasn't a failure because, like we've seen today, you know, the gospel was proclaimed and it happened in a bunch of different settings to a bunch of different people. And as we've heard today, that in alone is a win because we trust God is at work. He's bringing people back to life through His word. We don't always get to see it. We know He's doing it. But what an amazing privilege when we do get to see it. And in God's kindness, we did get to see it. On this particular mission trip, there was two siblings who attended. One went to the kids program, the other to the youth program. And what happened after the mission was God did something amazing, not in their life at this stage, but in the life of their older sister. This person had been through a lot. They embraced a party lifestyle that hit rock bottom. They turned to New Age spirituality. Things got worse, like so many people who turn to New Age spirituality today. But at her lowest, as she recalled that her grandparents, they gave her a Bible when she was baptized as a baby. She tracked it down, I don't know where it was, and she met Jesus as she read through the words. And over time, she put her trust in Him. And now in God's kindness, those two siblings I talked about before, she's actually bringing them to church each week so that they can come to know Jesus and find life in Him. Now, I share that not because it was directly connected to our mission. You know, in some ways, the, closest link was the grandparents all those years ago giving her a Bible. And I bet they never thought it would she'd come to faith like that. But I share it because it reminds us of what God is doing today. God tells us that as the gospel goes out, he's bringing people to life in Jesus. We don't always see it. We know it's happening. And so coming back to our first question, was Paul's mission trip to Thessalonica a failure? By the world's standards? Maybe. By God's standards? No way. Because as the gospel was boldly proclaimed, God brought people to life in Jesus. And what's more, he enabled them to persevere with Jesus, even amid hardship. And that's what God's still doing today. In a moment, we're going to pray together. But before we do that, it's an opportunity now to do our one thing. As James 1 tells us, we don't just want to hear God's word and forget about it. We actually want to live it out. So take a moment on your outline. You can write your one thing. You can pull out your phone and get up a notes section in your notes app. What's one thing that stood out to you today? You know, it could be a question you have, something you've been struck by or challenged by or moved by. What's one thing? Take a minute, and we'll come back together, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. All right, how about I lead us in a time of prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as the gospel is boldly proclaimed, you bring people to life in Jesus, and you enable them to persevere with Jesus, even amid hardship. Father, please help us to never stop giving thanks to you for the hope we have in Jesus. And please enable us to live for Jesus and proclaim his name in the ups and also in the downs of life. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.